This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're in that downtime that happens every summer in college sports. The NCAA basketball tournament is over. College football hasn't started yet. The College World Series has come and gone without too many people noticing. But in a courtroom in Oakland, California, the business end of college sport is alive and well. The question at particular issue in the lawsuit against the NCAA isn't new. Should student-athletes be paid for their services, services that are in some sports oh so lucrative for their schools? What is new, though, is how seriously this particular challenge to the NCAA's business model is being taken. Here's one indicator. Moody's, the credit rating people, have revised the NCAA's credit outlook to negative. Dr. Boyce Watkins is a scholar-in-residence at Syracuse University. He's written on this case. Dr. Watkins, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
This is, you have written, a pretty clear-cut case of labor rights. Explain that a little bit.
Yes, well, I believe that every American deserves to have labor rights. If you really look at the numbers, I'm a finance guy, that's what I do, you'll see that the NCAA makes money on par with every professional sports league in the world. I mean, imagine if we lived in a world where Walmart and Target and Kmart could all conspire and say, well, we're all going to agree to only pay our employees $10 an hour. That would be entirely unacceptable. But that's what happens when Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky all agree that we're not going to compensate the athletes. It just leads to a system that I would say is inherently unfair.
How much of a problem is it? Or maybe has this become a bigger issue because so many of the players in so many of these sports come from poverty and, in fact, so many of them are African-American?
Well, you know, I think that the poverty issue does exacerbate the problem. I think that race does play a role in that at least $1 billion in economic value is stripped from the black community every single year. When you have a kid like a Reggie Bush, for example, who played at USC, who ended up losing his Heisman because his mom got a few thousand dollars under the table. But when you look back and you see that USC, a school with an endowment that's larger than every historically black college in the country combined, that this school made over $100 million from Reggie Bush's play on the field, it's hard to argue that some people shouldn't be a little bit outraged about that.
The NCAA, of course, uses phrases like scholar-athlete with some sense of determination. They also say, you know what, the revenue that, I don't know, USC or Syracuse gets from basketball or football or whatever, lets the female volleyball players play. And if we get rid of, you know, the money we're making, then everybody's out of luck.
You know, when you talk about the idea that the revenue is being shared amongst different sports, you know, I think that's kind of an interesting argument because when you talk about the coaches, no one ever says, well, if you pay the coach, the basketball coach, $5 million, then you've only got $100,000 to pay the volleyball coach. But for some reason, when it comes to the athletes, we expect this subsidization model to apply, which I'm not going to argue the merits of it one way or the other, but I'm going to say that it's kind of odd for you to come to me and say, look, I earned you $10 million. I'd like a percentage of that. And for me to say, well, I'd like to give you your money, but I've already given it to somebody else.
I don't disagree with you, but you are not the first guy to call the NCAA corrupt. Taylor Branch famously did it in the Atlantic Magazine a year or two ago in a blistering article. And yet, it has not changed its ways, and there does not seem to be substantive pressure on the NCAA to change its ways in any fashion that's going to be successful.
I would argue that the NCAA does change its ways in that they tend to be a lot more defensive about their business model. They spend a lot more money every year marketing and trying to get the public to believe that they are something that I believe that they're not. I think that what's going to probably happen is that at some point, some outside entity, perhaps the IRS or Congress or the courts, are going to step in and break the NCAA down. Because the toughest thing about dealing with the NCAA is that they kind of operate in a sovereign space. They regulate themselves. And when you look throughout society, any institution that regulates itself is usually going to be filled with corruption.
Dr. Boyce Watkins, he's a scholar in residence at Syracuse University. He is, as you said, a finance guy. Professor Watkins, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.